You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Yes, it's time for the Southern Cross, but with Jean Bell, not Kendall Hutt, we need to sort that sting out. Jean Bell is a contributing editor to the Pacific Media Centre. Jean will be giving a rundown of the latest news from the Asia Pacific region later in the show. But today she's also joined by AUT students Hele Ikumotu, sorry if I butchered that, and Blessing Tom, who will be heading to Fiji next week as part of the Bearing Witness program. How are all of us today?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, really good, thank you.
Great to have you in. So, Hele and Blessing, could you tell us a bit more about the Bearing Witness Project?
Yeah, so the Bearing Witness Project is a two-week journalism project in Fiji, and it's based around climate change. So it's through the Pacific Media Centre at AUT, and we'll be based with the team at the University of the South Pacific and working with their student newspaper, One Solwara, and we'll also be working with the Pacific Centre for Environment and Sustainable Development. So yeah, this is the third year that it's running, and Blessing and I are really, really excited.
Yeah, cool. So is it normally just two AUT students that go over and do this?
Yep, normally two AUT students.
Great. And yeah, so when are you leaving? When? Sorry?
We are leaving this Saturday.
This Saturday, so. Cool.
Yeah, pretty excited.
Awesome. So yeah, what exactly are you going to be doing there?
So this is a pretty amazing opportunity for young media students like us to go into Fiji and report on climate change stories. So basically we'll be centered at USP, and with their guidance we'll go into places and report climate change stories and how it impacted on people's lives over there.
Right. And how can a project like Bearing Witness help in climate change issues in the Pacific?
I mean, more than ever, I think journalists have a responsibility to be reporting on climate change issues. It's becoming bigger. With all these storms happening and earthquakes and sea levels constantly rising, people are losing their homes, people are losing their lives, and it's so important that journalists are reporting on these issues. People in the Pacific have such a strong connection to their land, and the truth of the matter is mainstream media isn't reporting on climate change, and I think a project like Bearing Witness really gives us the opportunity to be reporting the truth around climate change genuinely. A project like this really emphasizes the need to report on climate change, and you just have to be really passionate about climate change if you want to report on it genuinely. So we're hoping to go over there and really see the impact, see the realities of climate change and how it's impacting the communities over there.
So you're not there yet, but what do you know at the moment about the impacts of sea level rise, for example, in Fiji?
Well, we do know that a lot of families have lost their homes, and their houses are pretty much on the beach now. It's a part of the beach because the sea levels are constantly rising, and they're pretty much living on the water. And so I think it's important that we really show the realities of those impacts and show how these families are affected. And when we're really touching on those emotional sort of impacts, it really drives people to want to learn more about the impacts of climate change and how these vulnerable communities are living with the effects of climate change.
Great. Well, yeah, look forward to hearing about it when you get back. So now on to Jean for the latest news from the Asia Pacific region.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Yeah, pretty good. Mondays. At least we're on holiday, kinda. So last Wednesday, two education advocates visiting from the Philippines spoke at a talk about the struggles of delivering education to indigenous peoples in the Philippines. What's the situation over there?
Well, as I found out, it's pretty messy. There's a lot going on. So we had two volunteers, and they're named Fritzi Magbana and Lorena Segua from Save Our Schools Network, and they came and spoke about the challenges that they face while delivering education to the indigenous peoples, who are collectively known as Lumads, in the Mindanao region of the Philippines. So the Save Our Schools Network is part of community groups and advocates that are fighting for Indigenous people's rights to defend their land and getting an education and the right to self-determination. So this network has 215 schools operating, and because the teachers are educating and therefore empowering the Indigenous Lumads, they are labelled as terrorists, by the Philippines government, because this is seen as a challenge to the government's power. And aside from that, Mindanao is really rich in resources such as gold and copper, and this makes it a big attraction for multinational companies, mining companies, I mean, and these are welcomed by the government. So the government forcibly moves people from their land so that mining can start, and the government sends military personnel to flush out the people that are living there. So basically that's neo-colonialism, and it's a similar situation to what Māori experienced at the hands of Pākehā. So there's that kind of that connection there. And aside from the government military, there's also paramilitary forces acting in the area, adding to the violence and the tension in the area. So basically, you've got the, you know, the government cracking down on education that empowers the Lumads, mining companies moving in, and military action in the region. So it's pretty messy. And according to one of the speakers, Fritzi Magbana, Save Our Schools, the network there, has documented 89 harassments of their schools, 18 military activities inside their school's vicinity, and 27 schools have been forcibly shut down because of the intensifying military presence in the area. Now, as the speaker, Fritzi, put it, the indigenous peoples are now being empowered and educated because of the schools. And if they are empowered, they know their rights. So that means that they are a challenge to the Philippines government. Fritzi also had a lot to say about President Rodrigo Duterte, who was encouraging this violence. And Magbana said, in the first 6 months that President Duterte was elected, we were really hopeful for a change. You know, he was saying that he was a socialist and a leftist and a pro-Lumad and an anti-mining advocate. But in 2017, in November, when the APEC summit took place in Manila, President Trump visited the Philippines and Duterte seemed to change his mind. So after the visit of Trump, Magbana says that he changed his tune. He welcomed all the invested to extract the natural resources. So, Magbana says that he's a puppet. So it is a really messy situation over there, as you can tell.
And his extremely violent war on drugs as well. A lot of people were shit scared. But you're talking about how Duterte was claiming he was a leftist when he was fighting for power. But I also understand there are communist rebel groups fighting.
Yeah.
How do they play into the education and indigenous issue, do you know?
Well, it's kind of, as I said, it's like a really messy situation with a lot of different factions fighting for their interests. So it can be hard to tell exactly what's going on. I'm not exactly sure what role they play, but there's a lot of military action coming from a range of sources there.
Yeah, better keep posted on that one.
Mm.
So in Papua New Guinea now, a group of customary landowners have regained access to the land following a legal victory against a Malaysian logging company. Good news. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so a victory in that sense. So seven people from Pomeo in East New Britain were barred from entering their land for the past 6 years after a restraining order was issued against them in 2012. So the National Court in Kokopo set aside the restraining orders after finding that there was a lack of evidence. Now, the dispute over the logging and land grabbing triggered the six-year legal battle between the landowners and local companies that were sponsored by a Malaysian logging company. Now, these landowners include Paul Pavel Soalria and Norbert Pames, who have been vocal against land grabbing and widespread deforestation in the remote district. Now, the Pomeo district is the site of a really controversial special agricultural business lease where large tracts of rainforest have been logged and replaced by palm oil plantations. So it really is a great victory for the citizens there, where they're really realising their rights really to their land.
Yeah, often it's palm oil displacing people and rainforests and animals, orangutans. A lot of people get up in arms about orangutans, but less so for actual people, it seems. But yeah, let's hope something, a similar victory will happen to the people in the Philippines. And to wrap up today, there's a new band on the scene in Papua New Guinea. What makes this band so special?
Well, yeah, it's really cool, actually. So this band is called Girl Power, and it's an all-girl feminist band that is seeking to empower women in Papua New Guinea's music industry. So they played their first gig in Port Moresby this Saturday, and it's headed by a female artist called Miriani Masani, and has seven members in total, who are students, mothers, and there's also a lecturer in the mix. So aside from you know, the human rights kind of issues that are in the Papua New Guinea, they're also braving a male-dominated industry to come out and not only sing, but to raise awareness on social issues that are affecting women and girls. So they've previously toured in Goratika and Madang, but this was the first time that they've performed in the capital. So they've also launched a music video, and that's dedicated to ending domestic violence in Papua New Guinea.
Great. Yeah, I think I'll try and track down one of their songs and play it later on.
Yeah. Give it a spin, eh?
Should be good. So yeah, that was Jean Bell, Halle Ikemotu, and Blessing Tom. Thank you so much for joining us today in studio. And I hope your trip goes well.
Thanks
for having us. Bloody exciting.
Yeah, cheers.
And yeah, we look forward to the updates next week.
Cool, right, thanks
everyone. Later.
Cheers.
That was The Southern Cross.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.